Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Please think with me on the theme, Getting More from Prayer. Now, our subject makes several assumptions, but they can be readily proved, but with which we shall not be primarily concerned. It does assume that God exists, that God hears and He answers our prayer, and that the prayer of the righteous avails much, as we are taught in James 5 and verse 16, and that prayer must have power sufficiently to move God if offered according to His will and in harmony with His revelation concerning prayer. It is not our goal to discuss the content of an acceptable prayer, nor what should be included in these prayers. We are concerned with the power of prayer, and how that power can be dissipated, or how that power can be used to its fullest. Prayer, of course, is for man's advantage, giving him the opportunity to converse with God. It enables the faithful child of God to tap a reservoir of blessings that God offers. Prayer is not to inform God, but gives recognition of God as the giver of every good gift, James 1 and verse 17. Often we're not as blessed as we could be because we do not pray as we ought, and we do not get the most from the privilege of prayer. We simply want to make a few suggestions to people along this line. Sometimes people get so discouraged in life that they feel and they're heard to say, I guess there's no power on earth to help me. But I would like to persuade, especially my brethren, that there is a power in heaven and a way of reaching that power through prayer. And while the efficacy of prayer is not our specific message this time either, this we want to underscore because of its forceful biblical teaching. May we suggest that you set aside a few moments each day for prayer that you can think and consider? Thoughtfulness before prayer will bring to mind that for which you should pray and how to pray. A calm and quiet moment of reflection can produce a prayerful attitude. Most of us are just not capable of switching our minds off and on like light switches from one attitude to another. Thinking before praying will assist us to pray with greater sincerity and understanding. Now, this does not exclude a spontaneous prayer, if you can call it that, because the occasions of the day may well call for such prayers. But if we rely only on prayers at the spur of the moment, is it not likely that there is much for which we should have prayed that will escape us? If possible, have a time of day near which you determine to offer prayer. The sweet hour of prayer will be joyfully anticipated. Now, whether your prayer is spoken aloud or only in your mind is not really important when we speak of private prayers. But often a spoken prayer has advantages to provoke deeper thought, even when we may be alone. Simple and natural words are best. Even in public prayers, they should not be a conscious attempt to be flowery or oratorical in speech. We may likely use phrases that are often used, and there is no inherent fault in that. But we should be careful to know and to mean what is said, lest such words become mere repetitious sounds without spiritual substance. And while we do not advocate a flippant conversational language that borders on disrespect, we would advise against a stiff formality that is as burdensome as unwarranted familiarity is obnoxious. Let us pray with sincerity. God knows the heart. He needs not to be impressed with our grammar or our abilities to express magnificent phrases, nor should He be addressed as if we are simply speaking to a fellow human being. Prayers must reflect respect and reverence in our own language and thoughts. It is a precious moment, and one of closeness with God, and this can be marred by artificiality. He is our friend, but you remember, He is God. Respect His warmth, but respect His holiness, just as we realize our own unworthiness. And Paul taught, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Now, obviously, this does not mean to constantly be in a literal activity of uttering prayers. It has reference more to a frame of mind. Prayer denotes a dependence on God, and we should know that dependence at all times. We should so live as to be on speaking terms with God at all times. And this enables us to pray anytime, anywhere, about anything. Prayers need not be long to be effective. Many short prayers during the day lift us along. But we should not try to confine ourselves to just a few brief expressions without giving longer prayers opportunity. And since prayer is an activity motivated by an attitude and an expressive frame of mind, we should be careful not to only make petition in prayer, that is, always asking. Prayer affords us a special opportunity to thank God. Our blessings are so numerous that it will tax the mind to count your many blessings. But we should attempt to say thank you to the Heavenly Father, for He is the source of our blessings. It is a mistake to only approach God's throne wanting more and more, and having neglected to be grateful for what we've already been provided. When we do make petition, our request should not be merely for self, without proper regard for others, and we should pray for our friends, our brethren, the lost, the sick, the bereaved, the discouraged, our families, any and all who need the prayers of the saints. And prayer must be offered in faith. Tennyson said, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." The Bible teaches, as we have already noted, the efficacy of prayer, James 5 and verse 16. But prayer is not some magical set of words. Faith undergirds the power of prayer. Faith changed things in the lives of many of God's faithful, recorded in Scripture, both in Old and New Testaments. To pray without faith is to reduce prayer to nothing but a mental exercise, a psychological experience, almost mockery. We are assured, though we are not always aware just how, that God hears and responds. We do not have to know how He does what He does, since our faith is in God, and we have confidence in whatever He has told us, and He has told us He hears and answers prayer. We must learn to accept the way He answers, because He knows more than we do about what His will is and what is best for us. We pray, His will be done, and we rely on Him without reservation. To get the most from prayer, we must be submissive to His will. The attitude expressed by Jesus is that which must be in our hearts, "Thy will be done." We can sever our line of communication with God if we are indifferent and disobedient to His will. Even our prayer can become an abomination, Proverbs 28 and verse 3. We need not think that God will respond, especially as we demand, when we show contempt for His will. We must be submissive to His will in our manner of life. Having prayed that His will be done rather than our own, we must submit to whatever His answer is. He may grant our prayers as we have requested them, or He may refuse our petition. And He may, in essence, answer with a wait, or even answer in ways we never considered. But again, we must rely on the providence of God, and may never know precisely the way He works all things. But we do not have to know all the mind of God to have confidence in Him. Friend, when we offer our personal and private prayers, we may well include matters that would be less fitting if leading a prayer publicly. We have those areas of life that are personal, and possibly problems with which we are wrestling that do not concern others, but they are vital to us. There are people of our acquaintance for whom we wish to be specifically praying in our private prayers that are not known to other people. We may wish to include their names in our personal prayers that would not be appropriate in a public prayer. They are personal sins of which others are not aware but known only unto God, for which we pray to seek forgiveness. We deprive ourselves of great spiritual values if we neglect private prayers where we can be so open to our Father, the one who knows and the one who understands. There might even be various ones who have chosen to be our enemies for whom we wish to pray, that it would not be appropriate to mention them by name in public prayer. What an opportunity to develop a forgiving spirit when we pray in private for those who have sinned against us, praying that we will forgive even as God forgives, Matthew 6, verse 12, 14, and 15. Yes, we should make our prayers appropriate to the nature of the prayer and the occasion. We usually meet many people in the course of a day's events. Do you ever consider praying for some of them, even though you may not know their names or circumstances? One has called such prayers just short prayers. I suppose he means by that just a brief prayer regarding someone in particular. And whether you like that identification or not, and I'm not too particularly fond of it, prayers for others, especially for their spiritual welfare, are always very much in order. The more you pray for others, the greater will be the spiritual benefit to yourself. It might even lead you to make an effort to seek their spiritual welfare. Is it not one way of getting more from the opportunity of prayer? Because these remarks are concerned with means and methods respecting prayer and merely suggestions to consider, we have not had the occasion to include many scriptures. Now, the things that we've assumed must be accepted and are to be accepted because they're biblically founded. But each of us might offer any number of proposed suggestions for getting more from prayer. The better we know what the Word teaches regarding prayer, the better we all will be to the benefit from prayer. But we must remind everyone that the privilege of prayer implies the right relationship with God. How can one who is not a child of God even properly address the Father? Until one is a Christian, God is not his spiritual father. The privilege of prayer belongs to the Christian. Now, God might take note of the prayers of others, but whose prayers has he promised to hear and to answer? To get the most from prayer, therefore, we must first accept the need to become a child of God by obeying the gospel. Then we can go individually and alongside our brethren into that beautiful garden of prayer and meet our God through his Son in prayer. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.